Hi, I'm Wendy Thomas. My father, Dave, is perhaps best known for his hamburgers, but his other passion was finding homes for children in foster care. His legacy continues today through the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, which believes a permanent, safe, and loving home is the birthright of every child. More than 400,000 children in the U.S. are in foster care. They're removed from their families when their parents are in crisis and can't take care of them. There's a group of people who unselfishly answers the call by becoming foster parents.
Melanie Watts is preparing to sit down to dinner with her girls. 5-year-old Lexi, 3-year-old Abby, and 2-year-old Ella. She didn't give birth to any of them, but loves them just the same. The way her family was formed might be unconventional, but her love is unconditional. She adopted them through foster care, a journey, she says, that began at work.
I was working at the time as a captain on the police department, and so we would assist social services on numerous check welfare calls. And I hit the age, maybe it was just that point of my life that, you know, I thought something I was missing or I was missing out on, or, I can't really put my finger on it. I just knew that I wanted a child. And so I thought, you know, one would be great. One would be awesome. And went through the foster program. I was in the foster program and working afternoon shift, and a call comes out with social services. And they said check welfare was 14th, and I didn't have any officers available. So I said, I'll go. And another officer said, I'll go with you. Great, let's go. We get there, and I see this infant child in a stroller, and she's got a onesie on that looks like it's inside out. But it was white at one time, and now it's brown and icky. And her diaper was literally almost dragging the ground, and she's in a stroller. And mom is, a little upset that social services is there and the police department's there. And we're just trying to calm mom, saying, hey, they just want to check the welfare of the child. And so we feed the baby and change the baby's diaper and the whole thing, and realize that she has lice and scabies. And, we're holding her, and the baby's itching her head. And little did I know that 3 months later I would get the call and them saying, we have a 7-month-old child, and you have an hour to come get her. And that was Lexi, same baby.
Watts would go on to take in Lexi's half-sisters.
One would have sufficed. And when we found out that number two was on the way, I was like, I'm not sure. Number one, as a new parent, and I didn't have any children of my own. But when number two was coming, I'm like, I'm just now getting good with number one, and what I'm going through. I'm not, but then you think about it, and you don't want a sibling floating, meaning, that sibling be placed in another foster home and then they never know each other. So, they hooked me. Hook, line, and sinker.
And now there's a fourth child whom Watts is still fostering. She, like many foster families, already stretched thin. Take in more when no one else will. 8,000 children in Kentucky are in need of safe and loving homes. They are in the state foster care system due to no fault of their own.
Our agency becomes involved with families and children when there are reports of abuse, which could be sexual abuse, it could be physical abuse, it could be emotional abuse. Somebody might overhear parents talking very negatively towards children. Sometimes we get children in foster care because their parents are abusing drugs or other substances and they've been arrested. Therefore, there's no one to take care of the children.
John and Misty Kerrigan became foster parents in 2011 and have taken 6 children into their home.
It's probably one of the most amazing things we've done. It's probably been one of the most heartbreaking things we've done. when children come into your home, you take them in as your own. And you see their hurts and you hurt with them. You're the one putting them to bed at night. You're the one reading the bedtime story. And you see their pain. But then on the other side, you know, they're the ones in the mornings. When they get out of bed, you're the one that sees their big smile. And so it brings a lot of joy to your life as well.
John and Misty have a 13-year-old biological daughter. They adopted 5-year-old Chance from foster care and most recently adopted 2-year-old Sean. When John and Deanna got married, she already had a son and was reluctant at the idea of more children. It was John who suggested becoming foster parents.
Well, he was very persistent that, you know, that he would like to do this. And I had raised my son basically by myself. And he was almost 16. And so I really thought I was finished and was looking forward to that part of life. But I did finally agree to go to the classes. And after one class, I knew, you know, it was just what we had to do. It's what we were supposed to do.
Two of them are 22-year-old Nelson and 8-year-old AJ.
Well, ever since we got with them, it's been great. I mean, I've loved every minute of it. And still to this day, I love coming back and seeing them. Because I pretty much consider them like my real parents. Because they've been there for me, helped me through stuff. I really don't know what I'd do without them.
All foster parents will tell you that fostering is a rewarding yet difficult journey. The experience is rife with unknowns. When children are placed in foster care, the goal is always reunification with their birth families.
Some of the children come in with a lot of hurt, especially the older children. They feel like they're in foster care because their parents don't love them and they don't understand why they're there. And so you gotta try to explain to them that they are loved by their parents just don't understand how to love, to where you can stay in their home and maybe they're trying to get help so that they can get you back.
A few days after children enter state custody, a meeting is held between social workers, birth parents, and foster parents. Biological parents are reminded why their children were removed and are given special conditions for getting their children back, like obtaining suitable housing, stable employment, and substance abuse counseling.
We're talking about a process that gives parents a significant period of time to work on tasks. It requires the court to be very patient. And obviously that's what you want to do because the law holds the parent-child relationship as one of the most cherished relationships known to the law. And it will not disturb that relationship absent significant reasons.
When a child is removed from birth parents, social workers first try to place the child with family members. If a suitable arrangement can't be made, the child will enter a foster home, group home, or residential facility. A child can be in state custody from days to years. And it's the strangers that children are placed with who become their biggest advocates.
The role that foster parents play in this whole process is invaluable. Foster parents provide a safe harbor for children in times of distress. I've had cases where foster parents are here every time parents are not. And so that speaks volumes. We need good foster parents.
It doesn't take long for foster parents to form an emotional attachment to the children in their home. The hard part is knowing in the back of their minds that the children may one day leave and return to their birth parents.
For me, it's love at first sight. And children coming from the homes that they come from, you know, where much time there's neglect, of course, sometimes abuse, but they deserve that attachment. You know, when children leave our home, it's great for them to be reunited with family, with birth parents. You know, it's the natural thing for children to be with their birth family. I think they take part of us with them. We're definitely a changed family.
After experiencing infertility, Kristen and her husband David adopted a son and later decided to expand their family by becoming foster parents. They brought home a newborn baby boy and later his brother. But the boys eventually returned to relatives.
Having them for 2 years, they were part of our family, very much as our son was. And so it was hard to let them go.
I had to give a baby back at 5 months, and that was one of the hardest things to go through. But she has a great life, and she's with her family. And she had a great start with me.
Denise Lambriano is an adoption specialist and the mother of 4 boys who were adopted from foster care.
I would say that if you don't get emotionally attached, then you're not doing it right, because it should hurt when they go back home. Even though some people don't understand, you are taking care of somebody else's child. And if you were in that situation, you would want whoever's taking care of your child to love them and to take care of them and nurture them. And, you know, you can't do those things without building an attachment.
Kim Wilson is a licensed clinical social worker. She says that children removed from their birth parents face a range of emotions.
Well, the number one is fear. Most of us can get used to just about anything, and the scariest thing is the unknown. So being taken from what you know, even if it wasn't good by our standards, going into something unknown is incredibly scary. There's missing and longing for the birth parents. Even if they weren't good parents, children love their parents and want to be with them. There's unsureness of what's coming. You're walking into a house full of strangers, a place you've never been. You're going to go to a different school. You're meeting other kids and adults that you've never seen before. Literally in a moment, everything in your world changes.
One of the biggest misconceptions about children in foster care is that they're at fault, but the children are just victims of their birth parents' poor choices.
I really see sad circumstances sometimes with parents who I think they don't realize the blessing that they receive in having their children. I frequently tell parents, particularly when drugs are involved, I frequently tell parents that you must choose which you love most, the drugs or your children, because you cannot have both of them. I've even asked parents, when they look at me surprised that the children had been removed from their physical custody because of their drug use, I asked some parents, I said, do you understand why you can't use drugs and have your children at the same time? And neither parent, both of the parents said no. They didn't understand it. And honestly, that means they were victims of poor parenting. They're adults. When they're adults, they can make the choices that they want. They're free to make bad decisions if they want. But I tell people all the time, bad decisions are going to chase you for the rest of your life. And there are many who, they learn that lesson the hard way.
Those lessons can deal children years of hurt and guilt.
There's probably no worse feeling than not being good enough for your own birth parent to love you. That's to the shame end, that I'm not worthy as a person. The difference between shame and guilt, shame is I'm not worthy as a person. Guilt is about a behavior. What I did was bad. When we believe that we have no value as a person, there's no point. It leads to complete hopelessness, lack of belief that things will ever be better. How can the world be good if I'm not even good enough for my birth parent to love me, to work to get me home, to stop using drugs in order to have me home, to stay out of jail in order to have me home, to leave the boyfriend that's violent in order to have me home?
In some cases, birth parents will voluntarily give up their parental rights. That was the case for David and Kristen. The birth mom to their now one-year-old daughter decided to put her up for adoption right after giving birth. She left the baby at the hospital, which is allowed under Kentucky's safe haven law. Baby Peyton didn't stay in state custody long because social workers knew of the perfect family for her. Kristen never got to meet Peyton's biological mom, but she's thought about what she would tell her today.
I thought about that question. You know what? What would I tell her? The night before Peyton's adoption, I wrote Peyton a letter, just telling her how much I loved her. But I also told her how much her birth mom loved her because she chose life for her. And if I could see her today, this woman, I would first just tell her thank you. And then I would just remind her how much I love her. And if there ever comes a day when Peyton asks a question, that I would be more than happy to help her. And just to know that there are two women, her birth mom and me, who love her very unconditionally.
It's more common for parental rights to be terminated by the courts after parents refuse over a lengthy amount of time to work their case plan and meet the conditions of having their children returned.
If the parent does not work on those tasks and they come to court repeatedly for review, sometimes I give people pep talks. Sometimes I give them very firm warnings about what the consequences of their failure to work on those tasks may be. But if they don't do what they're supposed to, and the child cannot be returned to the parent, then that's when they start down the road to termination.
At that point, foster children become eligible for adoption, and in most cases are adopted by their foster parents. John and Misty remember the day well when they broke the news to Chance that they were adopting him.
Whenever they came to the point where they terminated rights and all that was final and they knew that we was going to adopt, and yes, we did sit down with him and told him what was going to happen, and he was really excited. And I think he felt, of course it's hard to say what people feel, but I think he felt a little bit at ease. Like, this is over with. I think once the adoption was finalized, he could be him. He could just relax and realize that he's not going anywhere. And we could tell him on that day that you're not going anywhere. You're ours forever.
Adoption Day marks the culmination of a journey that may have begun as trauma, but ended in triumph.
I always say that we're in a courtroom, not a hospital delivery room. But today, you can celebrate as if you were. You know, when a child is born at the hospital, it's a very, very happy time. People bring balloons, all the family comes. It is a joyous occasion. And so I want people to be able to celebrate adoptions in the very same way. So I'm always happy for people to bring family and friends. We've had as many as 75 people here in the courtroom. People video it. They take pictures. They bring balloons. I've had families, we typically, in front of the bench, we all pose for photos together. I always give the children a stuffed animal. So it's a very, very, very happy time.
Foster parents are always in demand in every state. Kevin and Mima Lee are both 50 years old. They've been married 21 years and have no children of their own. The Lees have come to the Department for Community-Based Services in Kentucky for the start of a 6-week training on foster parenting.
We've been discussing that we want kids for a long time, and we just have decided now that it's time that we decide that to see about fostering children?
We've gotten all that stuff that we wanted to do at retirement pretty much over with. We've traveled. Now we want to step back in our lives and do what we wanted to do in our younger years.
The couple admits this new experience brings some anxiety.
Nervous, not knowing what we're getting into. Being at the age we are, having children is going to be a total venture for us.
Like most foster families, the Lees would like to get a newborn. As foster children get older, they become more difficult than ever to place with a family and can end up in group homes or residential facilities. Even after age 7, children are considered less desirable.
I think the big myth is that when they get older, that they're somehow harder to handle or they're set in their ways and you can't raise a child to be the way you want them to be. But I don't think that's the truth. And I think a lot of people would say that's not the truth. You know, just because a child's older, they still need parental guidance and somebody to help them to set boundaries. They still have a lot of firsts that they have to go through. You know, the first time they go on a date, the first time they drive a car. So there's still a lot of these first that they need to experience and they need parents there. So I think, you know, it's unfortunate that they get that kind of a bad rap just because they're older.
Age isn't the only factor working against older children. Many others will enter the Special Needs Adoption Program, or SNAP. Simply being older or being in a sibling group can place a child in SNAP.
It's very, very hard. I will not lie and say I have not cried over these kids. A lot. Just thinking about it, especially at holidays, when I know that how important it is to my own kids to have people around them on their birthday, or, you know, I think about these kids and think about how hard that must be, and I just want to go up and give all of them a hug, because when I talk to them, that's usually the top of their list is, have you found a family yet?
Teens in foster care who don't get adopted will age out of the system at 18. The odds are stacked against them. They can end up repeating their birth parents' patterns of substance abuse, homelessness, and crime.
Kids that have an identified family just fare better. Kids that are adopted have that forever family, fare better than our kids that age out of foster care. You know, the ones that age out of foster care, their chances of success in life are just not as good as the ones that have that family support.
When youth in foster care turn 16, the state begins working with them to ease their transition into society on their own. Sheila Butler helps teens with a host of tasks like applying for a driver's license or managing money.
They need these resources so they can get ahead in life. A lot of us, we're born with we have our parents, you know, our biological family to help us through this, but our foster youth don't have anyone. So we need that. We need these resources so they can have a jump in life.
One of the jobs of a parent is to prepare their children to be a productive adult, a happy adult, to be able to deal with problems, deal with the world. So if they haven't had parenting, or if they haven't been in an emotional place that allowed them to learn those skills, then we have adults that are, number one, much higher likelihood to have substance abuse issues, higher likelihood of violent relationships. They can't settle. They don't know how to do that stability. 85% of kids that age out of foster care return to their families of origin. That shows you that natural affinity toward your birth family. So if they don't have a solid, loving family that they feel like they belong to before that time, they'll go back to what they know.
Under Kentucky law, foster youth who age out of the system at 18 have 1 year to recommit to the state until their 21st birthday. The state can provide young adults with housing and educational assistance.
I feel like the most rewarding part is that when I see a youth who's going to school and trying to make a positive change in their life, I enjoy seeing that they are taking pride in their education and really having that goal to do better and make a better life for themselves.
6 weeks after starting foster care training, Kevin and Mima are heading into their final class.
You know, taking care of a child and having to let them go back home, that is a fear. And I know that it'll be difficult, but I think that we're able to do that. We can still love them. And yes, it met our expectations. There's a lot to it, but it's well worth it. We learned so much.
Just some paperwork and a home study separate them from their first placement. They still have their fingers crossed for a baby.
I'm nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof, you know. Don't know any other way to say it, but I mean, right. I am. I'm nervous, but I'm excited.
Right.
Jeffrey Jordan entered foster care at age 2, and he spent more than 15 years in the system. He never found a forever family, but credits his foster families for giving his life direction.
I believe 75% of my time in foster care has been nothing but positive and uplifting, because I have had that positive throughout my life to teach me right and wrong.
He always missed not having a permanent family, but certain milestones were especially hard, like birthdays and holidays. At age 30, Jordan is finishing college. He's written a book about foster care and shares his story as a motivational speaker.
I have a great church family. I have my fiance's family, great. And so I could look at that as, hey, this is your family.
Some children in foster care will find their forever families. Others won't. For them, foster parents have to let go and hope all of the sleepless nights, court dates, and prayers were enough. There's a good chance that foster children will not remember their names, but will remember at one point in their lives, they were loved unconditionally.
More than 23,000 youth per year in the U.S. leave the child welfare system without a family. Join us as we work to realize our vision that every child will have a permanent home and a loving family. I'm Wendy Thomas, and thank you for watching.